I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host,
like I'm
Lara Marie like Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go so in. Then we girl with a friend, you'll be both win.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm here today with a podcaster, host of Hot Takes and Deep Dives, Jess Rothschild. Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. We actually recently did an episode together for my show. You guys, the listeners, like, may know me. They may or may not know me from Out in the Wild. And recently, I launched a new, basically just like rebranded everything. And you guys can now find me at Hot Takes and Deep Dives. And yeah, Hot Takes, Deep Dives on Insta. And that's where I am.
I love that name. And then you re-released our episode on Hot Takes and Deep Dives.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And yeah. You've also had friend of the pod, Jamie Stein.
Noted
spiritual guru Jamie Stein on your podcast. Yeah. He was a real fan favorite. And you've known him for a while, right?
I've known him for a while. And because funnily enough, I did not discover him. So I think people got to know him. I think he did an appearance like on Bitch Sesh years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even how I initially found him. I initially discovered Jamie because it was during the season of Carol and Bethany's like big breakup. And yeah. I was on YouTube, like I was just going down a YouTube wormhole, and he did a video like psychoanalyzing what was really going on. And I was just like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. And then he did one like psychoanalyzing Erica Jane. And I literally was like, I want a reading with him. So I had a personal reading with him, like maybe it was like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And then cut to eventually I have like a Housewives podcast. And yeah. And
then it's like just an inevitable chain of events that eventually leads to a Bravo's themed podcast.
Like listeners, you're about a month away from starting a Bravo podcast.
Oh yeah. If you like psychology and just like human relations and relationships, like you too can have a Bravo podcast, as it turns out.
What do you think? I often thought about this. Like, what do you think the main characteristics are of somebody who is not a celebrity. Like, I understand why Amy Schumer starts her podcast or why Chelsea Handler. It's because, like, they're celebrities and they already have a platform based on their name. What do you think the underlying characteristic is among, you know, I guess people like you and I and like everyone else out there? I mean, we can just think in the Bravo world who just starts a podcast.
I think you have a lot of opinions. talkative. I'm saying you in just like the general sense, not just not like you in particular, but I'm sure you probably relate. Talkative, feel like you have a lot to say. And I think confidence in your opinions and like a good read on a situation and something to contribute to the larger conversation.
I like it.
And like a topic like Bravo shows and reality televisions, it's so rich to really dive into. Like, there's just so much to parse out and to learn.
It is endless.
So when you find something that's as rich of a text as like Vanderpump Rules, it's like, why not just, it's like kind of the easiest thing to have a podcast about because the subject matter is there for you week to week. To talk about. Like, it doesn't take much for me. It's actually never taken much for me to opine for hours on Vanderpump Rules. So it made just logical sense. And for me, like, my evolution was like, I talk about this to anyone who will listen. Like, I might as well do something creative with this passion of mine.
I'm just
It's a true, if you build it, they will come energy. I think everyone should have a podcast, honestly, because like it is, it's one of the most like democratic mediums of creative expression.
It also really helps you find your voice, like, but let alone, of course, in creativity, but also like, I think it can help people actually learn to how to communicate better in general.
Absolutely. And like, you develop people skills and like conversation skills. For me, it's like helped me because I started podcasting at a time when like my writing career took like a very intense dip. And so it's really helped me reestablish my voice in just a creative sense of like, who am I? Like, do I have anything funny to say or interesting to add? And the answer is yes.
She's so modest.
But yeah, it's been, I think it's fun. And I'm always like, pretty much my advice to anyone if they ever ask me about anything is I'm like, you should just start a podcast.
Oh, if somebody's going through like a breakup or like,
true anything. If you're like in a creative, like,
that would be a fascinating pod. I wonder if somebody, I mean, somebody in the world must have thought of this idea right before I just did a minute ago. Somebody who is going through a serious breakup, start a podcast, and every week we just like listen to their journey of how they mourn the loss, heal the wound, sort of become whole again, and then actually start out in the dating world again. And then we hear that journey. Is that honestly, $1 million? Did I just come up with $1 million?
I have full body chills. I don't know why there aren't more podcasts like that. Like, they're now.
What would the name of it be? You're really good at naming podcasts. So
oh my God. I'm not really that great at naming podcasts. Let me think. I have to think on that. I don't even know. Okay. Like, I'm just like the saddest podcast in the world is what they should call it.
No, because it's not, it starts out sad. It starts out sad, but
it's like a really nice inner look at someone. Like, it's, you would take a lot of vulnerability to like let people in. And also like the fact that your ex could hear all the shit that you're processing is a whole other layer. But I love the idea.
I think the name of the podcast is called Processing.
Yeah, sure. I love
that. That's really good.
And like, personal journal type of podcast. I don't know how many there are out there, but I feel like that's a whole other layer of podcasting that could get, I mean, you might as well, there's truly, you can make a podcast about anything. Like, someone, I once told someone, like, they had written into my podcast, Babe, and they were like, all I feel is like, I feel jealousy of everyone I meet. I think everyone's like better than me or has better things going on. Like, I'm consumed by jealousy all the time. What do I do? And I was like, you should just make a podcast where every week you talk about who you're most jealous of and why. And like, and that would be a good way to like process it and get it out. And I would totally listen to and deeply relate to like the jealousy podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, we have some work to do. So let's get into this
forthcoming podcast network.
Let's get this over so that we can start these two ventures.
Yeah. So wait, this episode of Vanderpump Rules, which is what we are actually podcasting about today,
yes,
was truly one of the best of this entire season. If not, I think it was the best episode of this entire season.
Can I tell you when I knew that we actually had something this week?
Yeah, tell me.
When Jax's credit card was declined.
Yeah, that was an iconic moment.
That was the moment I knew we had something.
Honestly, I knew the moment that Danica entered Sur and approached Ariana and clicked her nails like on the table. Like something in me responded so positively to that. And it was a great way to kick off the episode. And my attention was immediately like honed in. I was like, Danica's like an otherworldly being that ushers in like a new era of what could be.
Once we get through like a bunch of the scenes, like I want to talk to you about like, who do you think they're going to bring back? Like, do you think Max or Brett will be back next year? And who of the women do you think will be back? But we don't have to do that. We can go.
You'll
steer this ship.
I'm curious. We'll get into all of that. But Danica, this episode opens with her approaching Ariana and going, Jax is an hour late for some reason. I have no idea how he gets away with this shit. And I was like, because he doesn't actually work at Sur. Like, this episode, and whenever they force like the OGs to really pretend like they're still working at the restaurant, I'm both furious, but it also still makes me really laugh because it's like, it's fun to see who will still play ball in this world.
It is so strange to me that Ariana, I mean, in the context of it, we're buying into in this world, Ariana would not ask to have a shift.
What's weird is I think she maybe would. Like, it kind of gives
her... Like, just to have something to do?
Maybe to have something to do, because I think it would be a really strange existence to have work for 3 months out of the year and get paid. Like, they are getting paid a handsome sum of money at this point. Then for the rest of the year, you just don't have anything to do. And like, I think I might be great at that because I love to just do nothing and relax with like lots of money. But like, for some other people, I don't think that it works out well for them. Like, it can be a real drain on your like mental health. And also it's like, I mean, they probably have bills to pay. It's not like they're like wealthy by any means at this point, but
right.
And it could be nice. Also, it's like an organic way for her to just get a scene in every episode because you get paid if you appear in the episode. So,
and you're there. You're physically there. So it's like, okay, cameras are going to be at Sur at 2 o'clock. Just go.
I can pour some drinks. I can get paid for my shift if she does get paid for the shift. And then also like say a comment or two and then I get my like episode thing. So she might, I believe something about it. I believe that she would just be like, okay, I'll do this. But Jax is obviously like, he does not work there. Like, he comes into Sur like coked out of his mind and immediately makes a shot for himself and like takes it. Like, that's not an employee. And then Sheena, I mean, I love that Sheena is literally down to do anything, which is why she will always be on the show. She's not going anywhere. But like,
yeah,
I was just like, wow, this is wild. And also like the fact that Lisa is clearly like forcing people like Danica to be like, how does Jax get away with this shit? Like, is a weird thing to do as well.
Did you happen to catch his Instagram live last week?
No, I didn't.
Okay, the night that last week's episode aired, he went on Instagram live. And he had just finished eating dinner. Brittany was upstairs. So it was just him alone. And like, he had the camera, like the phone really close to his face. Like, his beard is just like, it's almost like Wolverine, like Hugh Jackman, like coming to get you, like the chops.
Yeah.
And
It's kind of harkening back to like a season 3-4 bloat that he had going on.
Yes. Yeah. Which he talks about, which I liked that he talked about his weight in this episode. It was like a moment of like self-actualization that I really like appreciated. And it also like made sense. I was like, oh, okay. So that's actually what's going on. Thank you for that. But yeah, he did this Instagram live, and anybody who watched it, like, I'm so glad that I happened to like tune into it. It really gave me like a little window into his world. Like, he talked about how he wishes that he did it every week so that he could tell us what was real, what wasn't, or like, oh, well, they cut this out. He was basically saying, well, I look crazy every episode or historically because you're only seeing like the end of a fight. You're not seeing like the 2 hours that like led up to it. Anyway, I wish he had saved it because it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I also just don't believe anything he says. Like, I absolutely think that Jax is crazy and there's no other way he would look. Even if I would gladly watch the 2 hours leading up to any fight that he's in just to have, just to see it. But like, I'm sure the takeaway at the end would be like, yeah, Jax is coked out and like an insane person. Also, I love like a close camera to the face. This is the Jax,
like, right there
we've been waiting for. Like, and someone who'd come on this podcast, I can't remember who, but they had said like, I really think that we just have to get through all of Jax's like big life moments, like the wedding and the birthday and blah blah blah, and just give him a little bit and he will eventually just dig his own grave again and be entertaining, because there's nothing else for him to like, there's no purpose to his life anymore and no attention.
Right.
And that was true. Like, he absolutely, like, I'm ready for to like hit the ground running with this version of Jax and get back into Jax and Brittany's sham of a relationship.
Me too.
Brett comes into Sir with curly hair. And
oh, can we wait? We got to go deep on the hairdo this entire episode.
Really? Brett is unwatchable to me. I just cannot, like, I feel the visceral reaction I have whenever he opens his mouth. Like, they're like, hey, wow, look at that hair. And he's like, I know, this hair is unreal. And then launches into how his mom tells him he's so handsome. I was just like,
see, this is interesting because we talked about this when we chatted for my pod.
Mm-hmm.
So you're revolted by Brett and I am revolted by Max.
So together we are just 100% revolted.
Well, see,
I don't know. United in revulsion. Repulsion.
Well, this episode really highlighted the fact that Brett is irrecoverably dumb.
Yeah.
Like, he really is not bright. Like,
no.
Period. Max may, I mean, we got to look up if he went to college, where he went to college. Like, I need some credentials on these guys. But Brett, I don't know. Maybe I just find him easy to watch, like easy to look at. Not last night with that curly, you know, looking like Fraggle Rock. That was like really crazy and in a very amusing way. But Max for me is the one that I just, he like makes the grease everywhere is just so unattractive.
Yeah, it's a real grease factor. But there's something about Max that to me feels more watchable. I guess it is because he isn't as dumb as Brett, who truly, I'm like, I don't think Brett understands ever what's like going on. Like, I've met guys like him who are hot. Like, I guess just like categorically, you're like, oh, that's a good looking guy. But like some model-y guys, and I think women, just like model-y people in general, I've met so many that tend to just be like totally vacant. Like, there's just nothing. They've never had to like use their brain to do anything. So it's just
But interestingly, he made the decision to become a vegan. I would like to understand what was it that inspired him to go vegan? Because he clearly had
vanity. I think it's vanity.
Really?
Yeah, because like, veganism and plant-based eating, I think, has been proven to like lower inflammation and has been better for your skin, and it keeps you really thin if you're truly just being like plants only and like not a right. lot of carbs. So I think for a lot of people who are like hot vegans, some vegans like are obsessed with the planet and doing it for like those reasons. But I think a majority, and especially in LA, it's because it's like an acceptable eating disorder. Which I don't see Brett as being like putting together like, God, like carbon emissions and like the cattle industry. Like, I don't see him like really being that concerned about that. I think he's mm-hmm. probably just like, wow, I'm getting older and would like to look like younger and hotter, so I'm going to be a vegan. But like him, I don't know. There's something about him like leaning into how like amazing his hair is and how his mom always tells him he's attractive. It's like that's all he has going for him. Mm-hmm. And it's like the only thing that he can even talk about.
He just keeps it super top line, superficial.
Yeah. And I'm like, no one cares, Brett. Everyone's saying like making fun of you to your face, which is actually like, I would watch more of that, of people just like actively trolling Brett to his face. Cause he also like, he's not smart enough. Like, remember when Charlie confronted him and just like sassed him at Sir and
yes,
he fully
yes.
melted down. Like, I thought that that was going to happen later on in this episode when they were all at like Dodie's pop-up event. And mm-hmm. I was so excited because I live for that. But then we didn't even get that. And so I'm like, this person is purposeless. Get him out of here.
So he waffles into Sir, hair
askew. Blind. And
hair askew.
And then Dana and Sheena sidebar out on the patio, and Sheena reveals that she has a new song. She just shot a music video with Brett called One More Time. And have you seen the video yet?
Can I tell you, I meant to go on to hop on YouTube and watch it immediately after the show, and then something must have happened between the show ending and me falling asleep, but I didn't get a chance to see it.
Well, but that's okay. I won't hold it against you. I have watched it, and it's like, I'm proud of Sheena. Like, she's constantly, her output has really ramped up this year in 2020, like with her YouTube channel. And like now yeah. she's giving us this video. It's a huge departure from her past like musical catalog. It's a mm-hmm. it's a creative risk. I think the video is like, looks pretty good, like for what it is. I'm very yeah. impressed. Yeah. So I was like, I'm here for Sheena's. I hope she goes back to making just like pop hits, because I think
of course
that's a little bit more, I enjoy those more. Like, I wouldn't really listen to this song that much, but I'm proud of her for jumping into the unknown in this way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Sheena tells Dana about this video, and then Dana makes the good as gold comment, which I thought was kind of, I was like, okay, I'll give it to you. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And she shows Dana the footage of her and Brett, and Dana is just like such a bitch to Sheena that it's not even like fun to watch. And she has to be like, I'm so uncomfortable like watching this video, like what the hell. And what do you make of like Dana and Brett's relationship? Like, I don't think that they actually like each other.
I don't think that she's interested in either of them. I don't think that she's interested in Max or Brett. I think it's all for the show.
Yeah. And I think that like, it's like, to me,
especially why the moment that I was like, oh, this is actually entirely produced, was the moment on the beach when the first time that Stassi ever spoke to Dana, I think this entire season, says, so I hear you're in some like sordid love triangle. The minute that left Stassi's mouth, I was like, oh, this is Lisa Vanderpump all over it.
Yeah, this is like, and I'm also just pissed that it took them, what, 18 episodes to like get into just
they
saying
gotten,
that? You could have gotten there sooner. Episode yeah. one, been like, I like Brett, but I also like Max, and I fucked both of them. Now what do I do? And then had yeah. that play out, and instead you're just like jerking off your audience, like but like a limp hand job. Like, it's like not working right. for me. And like, also, to me, it feels really bottom of the barrel, like no risk involved for Brett and Max and Dana to try and like involve Sheena and go after Sheena and make her look crazy in this whole thing is like, you don't have enough balls to actually like try and make a splash with a different character that could actually serve it back to you and make you look like a fool for doing it. You go after Sheena, who's like, leave her alone. Like, she's just such an easy target. It's laziness to try and like make her look bad. Like, Sheena does that on her own.
But they're not smart enough to hang with any of the other OGs. And like, well, I guess Dana seems to be kind of smart, but, or at least have like some street smarts about her. And she does have genuine connections. Like, I know she is, you know, genuinely friends with Ariana, but, I don't know, maybe just at the time of the filming, she didn't have those organic connections yet.
I know. And I'm like, why? I just feel like, why isn't production? I know, I guess they have a lot of storylines to like, serve in this season. Like, they had to like deal with Jax and Brittany's wedding and then like Stassi and Bo's engagement and all this shit. So like, they couldn't necessarily force the cast to all get together to go on trips a bunch of the time. But like, they need to be forcing these people together every single episode, well, whether they like it or not.
I think I 1000% believe this, the beach cleanup was a production thing to get everybody together. And I found it strange that Jax got away, or maybe that was part of production all along, to have him be the villain, or it was moving the plot forward.
The fact that he
was refusing to go.
Yeah, but it still worked for me, and I think it worked for the episode. Totally.
But that's an example of like an all cast scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it when they go to the beach. They do that, I think, once every season. And for some reason, it just feels great, even though it's like these people would never go to the beach otherwise. Like, it's just, you don't really go to the beach that much if you live in LA. So it's like, but it does perpetuate like the nice, like the fantasy of Los Angeles life that's just like, you go to the beach all the time. Like,
they also went to the beach more in the early years, like in season one, maybe like 1, 2, and 3, like when Jax is like showing the Stassi tattoo. And I remember another iconic scene where Jax, I think it must have been after the Kristen and Jax stuff broke, that Jax like had no remorse. And I remember like seeing
they went to the beach that day, and like, he and Tom Sandoval like sat on a bunch of like succulents, and then he admitted that he and Kristen had unprotected sex.
So it harkens back to the glory days.
Same. Jax and Sandoval go to a store called Wipe the Hype, which I have to admit I've been a patron of multiple times.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I know this place very, very well because it's very close to where I live in like West Hollywood. And it's like run by all these like streetwear bros that and it's like they literally just like clean your sneakers for like $40 a pair. And the front desk guy, like, I know the front desk guy, I have interacted with him multiple times. Like, I would love a show about Wipe the Hype because these bros, like, it's clear that they don't really know what they're doing, but they have like a business that could really thrive. Like, people now, sneakers are like more popular than ever, and so people are going, but like every time I've gone, like my sneakers like aren't cleaned on time, or like something's gone down, or it's taken longer than possible or longer than they said it would. And one time that guy from the front desk, like, they didn't clean my Yeezys on time, so then he personally cleaned them and dropped them off at my house at like 9 p.m. at night.
Oh my God.
So they're very like full service in a lot of ways, but characters in their own right. So I was glad to see Wipe the Hype representation. I was like, worlds colliding on my television.
And let's not forget Jax's card getting declined. Again, harkening back to the good old days. Love to see it. Keep it coming. Like, that felt natural, organic, and real.
Yeah. Why are his cards always declined?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, is this like a default mode? Like, he knows that it can make good TV, or is it like he has one checking account that he keeps like $500 in and just like will spend? Like, I don't understand. Does he have money? I think he has like money problems too underneath all of it.
Like, you think he's like a gambler or something?
I think that, well, someone had looked into his like financial history on like LexisNexis or some place where you can like look up people's information, mm-hmm. and they found like a tax lien filed against him late 2019. So he had like a $200,000+ tax lien filed against him after he bought that house with Brittany.
Wow. You know, I was listening to your episode from last week, and you blew me away when you dropped the bomb that Bo has filed for bankruptcy twice and has had a couple of failed businesses. Where did you find that?
Someone else looked up, like, I have readers that will go above and beyond the call of duty,
God,
and just
bless.
People with access to search engines that I have no access to. So they really get into it and they'll like go look and give me all the info.
Yeah.
So
that's surprising. It's surprising to learn that about Bo. I mean, granted, we don't know much about him at all, but I was surprised to find out, you know, through you that he had filed for bankruptcy twice.
That never surprised me about Bo, because I was like, yeah, he's so eager to get, he's always had like eager energy that I didn't trust, like so willing to just like get into the mix, get on the show. He also worked in casting, also is like a failed actor. So it made a lot of sense to me that like he was like classic Vanderpump, like early season energy, like someone in his 30s that life lives in LA, life hasn't worked out the way he thought it was. His dreams have like gone by the wayside. Then suddenly he gets the opportunity of a lifetime, falls in love with this girl that's like the most popular person on like an explosive reality television show. And then like his Hollywood dream begins to come true. So like it really seemed on brand for me that would be like his history.
How long do you think he and Stassi will be married for?
Honestly, I say like if they even get married at this point, like I could see, I'm intrigued that their wedding has now been like postponed, because obviously they were supposed to get married this fall in Italy, which I don't think will happen. I don't think it can happen until 2021. I hope that Stassi, like my deep hope is that she comes to her senses and realizes that this would be a really bad move, and then either puts off the engagement indefinitely, which there will give their relationship like time to dissolve and for her to realize that she deserves a better partner than him, or they'll get married and then, I mean, they'll be divorced. They might have a child together. I hope that they, I also hope they don't, but I mean, I don't think it will last longer than like 5 years.
I guess if I really think about it, I should not have been surprised at the bankruptcy, because he's not on, his name isn't on the deed or the title to the house.
Yeah. Cause I think his credit is so bad that like he couldn't get it on, which is also like, thank God the universe is like looking out for Stassi in some ways, because it's like, wow, that's a really like smart decision. You should not have him on the deed of this house. You should own it outright and like make him pay you rent, which is exactly what she's doing. And then like, I just like that the lines are seeming clean, and that's why I don't like them getting married, is because I don't want her to be then bound to this person that I truly think is like not the one long term for her.
I see her with somebody in the future, like down the line, maybe, you know, like maybe they'll be together another like 5-8 years, whatever it is. I see her more, somebody that is more stepped into their masculinity, like somebody more like Jax was in the beginning.
I had a friend that was like, Stassi and Jax are truly meant to be, but they just met each other.
Was that friend Lisa Vanderpump?
No. Shockingly, no. But she was like, they just met each other at the wrong point in life. Like, they were too young when they met. It didn't work out. But I think that their energy, she was like, their energy is electric whenever they're together. And that's very true. But I think Stassi also needs someone that is like, I like that they had kind of their independent things going on. Like they didn't have to, they also obviously like mixed their business somewhat from the show, both being on Vanderpump Rules, but like it seemed like they had like independent interests. And I just don't trust, like, Stassi's career has gone from, like, it's really jumped up a few levels with like live touring, and she has her like book and another book on the way, and to have someone else that's her partner glom onto that and now benefit from that feels really wrong. And it kind of just sucks from the standpoint of like, this is your business. Like, say what you will about Stassi, but she is like a dynamic force to watch on screen. Like, I like to see her on TV. And even if she's like at a shitty dog park with Britney talking about nothing, there's something that really draws me into her world.
Yeah, and I'm like,
she just has that, whatever it is. And I don't like seeing it being dragged down by like...
What ultimately will doom Stassi and Beau is that they are going to resent the living shit out of each other. Mm-hmm. And that is typically why a relationship breaks up.
Oh, yeah.
A mature relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way she's gotten to this point without resenting the shit out of him. And he's got to be resenting her. You're the star. Like, it's all about you. Like, it would be a nightmare.
Yeah, you're the star. You call the shots. I think that she is a financial, like, upper hand on him. And, like, it's slowly... And then also there's just like an energy in their relationship where it's like she emasculates him slightly, in especially like in social situations or like screaming at him in front of people at a party or whatever. And it's just like that is untenable. Like,
he also emasculates himself by consistently dressing and having the physical appearance of while he's a good-looking guy, he dresses like a giant baby.
Yeah. And I think that could be funny at first, but I also just don't think that Stassi wants to be with someone like that. Like, truly deeply in her soul, I think that she wants to be with someone who's like innately stylish and like gets her and is on the same level as like her about just like bougie things that she likes and is into. Basically, now I'm like team all the women on this show, and like I'm starting to really loathe all the men on this show, except for Sandoval, who's kind of, he's like a little bit like a lesbian, so I like him.
See, it's amazing. I will always love, you know what? I will tell you. So I met a bunch of them at BravoCon, and I will tell you, Sandoval and Ariana were the two nicest people. I also interviewed Ariana for my podcast, but so I had extended time with her. But Sandoval in general, like, he like pulled like Schwartz into a picture so like it'd be like the three of us, and that was like, he was like in person, I had like the best connection with him face to face. But I have to say, in terms of just like entertainment value, I love Jax. Yeah. Love him. I mean,
He's at his best when he's at his worst. And so, and I'll take, like, I'm here for that. Like, it's not like Brett where it's just like, ew, I can't even take it. Like, I'm disgusted. It's like, give me more. Like, I want unhinged Jax on Adderall or some sort of drug talking about things he has no business talking about is like my favorite Jax Taylor. Like, even in the scene with Sandoval, which you can tell they hate each other, and that they're being forced to like film this awkward sneaker cleaning moment. And then Jax, for some unknown reason, is now like hyper focused on Kristen, like hooking up with other people.
It's weird.
It was really weird. It makes no sense. And then tries to talk to Sandoval about it as if he would like know anything. And then starts asking Sandoval about his relationship with Ariana. And trying to like poke holes in that, which obviously it's like, I think Jax holds a lot of resentment against Tom because Tom and Ariana have like freedom in their relationship. And Jax and Britney obviously have zero freedom in their relationship.
Do you think that ultimately he's just jealous of Tom and Ariana?
Yeah, I think he's jealous of everyone. I think when the dust settles and there's not something like a wedding or a birthday party or just like something exciting that's focused on him, mm-hmm. I think that he gets really angry at other people because he's like very jealous of their lives. Like Kristen's an independent person who can fuck whoever she wants. Like she doesn't need to answer at this point to Carter or anyone or Jax or like, it's like she can do whatever. Like Tom and Ariana also can do whatever they want. And like they can buy a house and not furnish it. Like they have no pressure of like, we have to get married or we have to have a baby. Like it's all these people that he lashes out at. Even Max, who it's like, Max is kind of like posited as being like the new playboy at Tom who like sleeps with all the girls and blah blah blah, like it just makes sense that Jax would hate on all these people.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, in that Instagram live he basically said that he thinks it should be two separate shows.
Yeah,
he flat out said that
no one wants to watch, like it doesn't, it could be, but also it doesn't need to be. Like, if you just forced all these people to be together and made them have drama, like, I believe that there would be drama that comes up
with
all of them.
Nobody would watch the second show. That's the problem.
No one wants to watch, like, and that's where I think Jax and a lot of the OGs have gotten it twisted, because it's like, no one wants to watch you, like, mowing the grass and, like, talking about your lawnmower batteries and then like no one cares about your domestic bliss because everyone knows that you have no domestic bliss. Like the real you is the you in this episode where you're like grappling with some real issues and like being a jealous hater. So like I would watch the shit out of that, but like I'm not gonna, I'm done with like fake happy storylines of trying to like tie a bow around these people's lives.
Like, was it, I remember, I think it was you who said, maybe it was just last week, you had said that originally the show was set of people, set of like artists, you know, like musicians, people aspiring models, actors, et cetera. And now it's just a bunch of people who are aspiring to be married.
Yeah, it's just a weird.
And that's not the show that,
That's not the show that we all signed up to watch. And I guess that's like, I feel like there are people that find that really relatable because I guess that's like a very typical trajectory of life for many people in the world. But for entertainment,
but that's Housewives.
Yeah. But like entertainment value, there's no entertainment value in that. There's a lot of entertainment value in seeing like ambitious people who are not super talented that are aware of their like expiration, their Hollywood expiration dates, clawing for relevancy and like trying to achieve some sort of dream that's slowly dying. Like, yes,
the number one issue that I have, and don't get me wrong, like we don't want to hate on this episode because we actually both loved it. So I definitely don't want to hate on this episode, but the overriding issue with this season, of course, it's that there are too many cast members, but here's the result of that. The product of that, it means that there are, like, I genuinely do not remember if Lala was in last night's episode. Was she at the beach?
She barely was. She was at the beach. She was very much like sidebarred. And honestly, and she had a scene at Vanderpump Dogs. But even Lala at this point is like, it's like she, it's almost better when she's not around because she doesn't bring anything to the table anymore except for like a very glossed over fake narrative herself. Like even when Stassi is pretending to be like a nice person, there just is something dynamic about her. But like Lala, it's like, I love the Lala who is like out to like fuck your man and like steal your husband and like go in the studio and threaten to like pop someone. Like that's the Lala that I want. And I think that she could very much do that sober. I don't think it's like I enjoy like a sobriety storyline for certain people. I think that that's something that has needed to be addressed on the show for a long time. But like, I don't like, it just seems like Lala is now being put in a box. Like Lisa has identified Lala as upper echelon. So she will like film with her one-on-one in certain times. And I think that they have something cooking and I don't like it at all.
Ooh, what do you think they have cooking?
Well, I think I could, and I've said this before, I could see them trying to come back to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, yes.
Like the only way that Lisa could go back is if she has like...
But Lala's too young. She would need like 5 to 10 years to pass.
I don't know. I think that they could have like a younger woman on and it would be, because Teddy's also like younger. I mean,
oh yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the show, I think the Housewives shows work well when there's like a kind of younger person for the other women to kind of show the ropes or gang up on in a way. But I think Lisa could only go back to Beverly Hills if she has to have someone in her corner.
That would be brilliant.
But I also am like, yeah. I don't know, because I actually am really loving, like I have not missed Lisa on Housewives of Beverly Hills at all.
Same.
Like it's such a better show without her. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, stay away from that.
Just continue to fuck up Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. But like, no. Okay, wait. So Jax also tells Tom, which was crazy to me. He was like, so how are you and Ariana? Like, you're just fine. Like, everything's fine. He's like, we're actually good. Like, we don't fight a lot. Like, we don't name call. And he's like, you've never said you're being a bitch. Like, I can think of lots of times when she's been a bitch. Yeah. And I was just like, wow. Can you imagine?
He's a total piece of shit.
Yeah. And then Tom is like, you should stop being so defensive. Like, I'll give you this good advice. And then Jack says, he goes, you know, I do a lot of things, you know, but it's life. And I just wrote, what does that mean? Also, his face
when Tom was teaching him to essentially think before he speaks, and Jax was just like, yeah, that's not going to work for me.
No. I just can't do that. But did you notice his face during this conversation? Like he makes this face where his mouth is like slightly open and it's kind of like a smile with like quivering lips. And it's like very much like a cokey face that Jax makes, where you know that things are not right.
Yeah.
And then Jax says, he's basically like, I'm so hot and cold. Someone could say your hair doesn't look good today. And I'd say, you motherfucker, I'm going to gut you like a pig.
That was very dark.
A true bone chilling moment from Jax Taylor. Like, what in the world? He'd kill a man.
Of course he would kill a man. This is the guy who said that he wanted to be in jail.
Remember? Did he say that? When he was after he stole sunglasses?
After he stole the sunglasses. So I rewatched during the quarantine, just like 2 weeks ago, I rewatched in 2 days, I rewatched all of season 4. It was like Lala's first season and truly like James's like breakout season. Mm-hmm. And I think it may be my favorite season. Mm. Like the two of them together were electric. And when she's also, you know, Jax and James are like constantly like, you know, trying to one up each other and they're both trying to get Lala.
Yeah.
And it was all real and it was all authentic. But anyway, the point is in that season is when they go to Hawaii, he steals the sunglasses and he continually says for episodes upon episodes, just put me back in jail. Just put me back in the cell. He's like, I just want to be back there.
Yeah. Cause that would feel like a place where he feels like controlled, because I think he's constantly battling with like feeling out of control, which is why he does like so many drugs and like substances. But yeah, I'm like, Jax could be like the next OJ Simpson. Like I would not put it past him to get like so angry that he eventually like kills a man or a woman.
if he could. Do you think that he would murder Tom Sandoval if he could? If he could get away with it?
Yes.
Do you think he would do it?
If there was a purge scenario, Jax would murder so many people. Like, and he's even said as much. He was like, if I had, remember there was like a season where they were like, what would you do if you had 5 days to live? And Jax was like, I would kill as many people as possible. That's when I was like, whoa. I was like, this is not, something ain't right. I was like, my red flags are going off and have been off ever since he said that. Stassi and Britt go to the worst dog park in West Hollywood. And they talk about God knows what. They just like talk about Stassi being engaged, but they go, we haven't put our rings together yet. And I was like, is that a thing that like engaged women do with each other?
Yeah, they're trying to scissor.
We haven't put our rings together yet. Oh, I was just like, what is going on? Like, okay. Like, I'm just like, I would love, I say this a lot, but I'm like, anyone out there, if you're listening, you can buy a beautiful ring for yourself anytime that you feel like doing it. You don't need like, and then you can put your rings together with someone that just also has beautiful jewelry. Like, it, you don't have to get engaged. Kingsley's sunglasses I really was into.
It reminded me, I have a friend who has like a 3 month old, or no, maybe her daughter's like 6 months old, and she has these little baby sunglasses, and it actually reminded me of that.
Yeah, I love an animal, like a sad animal being forced to wear clothes. And Kingsley gave me like his energy in that moment was incredibly sad. And I was like, you are all of us, Kingsley. Jax snorts a fat rail and stalks into Sir, makes himself a shot at the bar, and then immediately just like screams at Sheena.
Didn't she say, was it Jax? She was like, do you want to see my new video? And he was like, no. Like, was that Jax?
No, not really. Brett? Yeah.
That was amazing.
And she was like, okay. And then Sheena proceeds to like sit there and like sultrily, she like puts her fingernail in a raspberry and then like eats it off of her long fingernail. And I was like, this is why she's the crown princess of Sir. Like, I fully believe, I don't know if she did this, but I like to imagine that Sheena will go up to the bar anywhere and dip her fingernail right into like the cocktail garnishings and like eat like an olive or a raspberry or what have you, a lemon wedge, just right out of that little box. Jax attacks Tom and Ariana and then talks shit about Max's beach cleanup day. And then he goes, I'm allowed to say what I feel.
I didn't put it together until later. So you know how in one of these early scenes, or maybe it was at the beach, Brittany's hair was all done in those braids. And then later in the end, her hair was all like crimped out.
Yeah.
Like throughout the episode, I was like, these are like dramatic hair changes. And I realized like, oh, the braids just turned into the crimped hair.
Yeah. I love a braid into a crimp.
Yeah.
That was like a go-to for me growing
middle
up.
Middle school, elementary school. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And then even like in high school, I would do that like a lot of the time. I would still do it to this day if I could. A braid and crimp is a real look that I can co-sign at any given moment. We have a scene at Vanderpump Dogs where we check back in with John Sessa.
This was unbelievable. I got like a chill ran down my spine. I couldn't believe that we were looking at John Sessa again.
It was both good and horrible to see him again. And I was brought right back to like Loosey Goosey Apple Juicy drama, which was my bread and butter last year. A drama that I personally killed for. And I forgot that John Sessa goes by Dr. John Sessa. Because I Googled him. Yeah, so he is a doctor of some sort or has a PhD.
I knew this.
Yeah.
And it's shocking because isn't he like 23?
He could be 23. He could be 36. Like he has like plastic surgery face, like very similar to Lala. Like, and a lot of people that get like an egregious amount of fillers and Botox, like he's now just like mid 30s ambiguous face.
Right.
But like, I wish, I wish that a Vanderpump Dogs show had happened, because I truly believe that there are like enough horrible people there to make a really good reality TV show.
See, I think that a Vegas spinoff would actually work.
I think either. Like, I would take either at this point.
I don't know about a dog. I don't know about the dog. I don't think I can co-sign that. I think for me, Vegas.
Yeah.
Is what I would want. And have you been to the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yes. So
oh my God, when did you go?
I went last summer. Maybe it was like last June. I went to Vegas for the opening of Christina Aguilera's residency.
Love.
At which, get this, literally the literal row. Who is sitting in the literal row directly in front of us? Erica Jane, Mikey, and the crew.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
She got her makeup touched up throughout the show.
That's a power move.
Like, yeah. Somebody was touching up her makeup. Like, she wasn't performing. She was just like me, like sitting in front of me.
She was just a patron of the arts with like, who happened to have her makeup team that they are on the clock 24/7.
She had the glam squad there.
God, that's amazing. And there was no one even filming her. It was just like, no. When you are with me, you are, if my T-zone gets oily, you better hop to it.
There was somebody filming her, and that person was me. And you can currently find it on my Insta story. Like, it's saved. If you go to my Insta story, JessXNYC, scroll in the highlights to, I think I called it like, Xtina Gaga, because I saw Gaga too that same weekend.
Oh, you God, you lived my ultimate dream.
The entire story is like seeing that it's Erica Jane. We're so close. It's like Erica Jane, Mikey, the touch up of the makeup, like Erica Jane, she did the full like champagne like sip the way she did in the confessional last year. Like it happened. Like I saw it.
Wow.
I know. God, what was the point of it?
No, maybe we all get to a point where we have a makeup artist / friend who will make sure we look flawless 24 hours a day. But yeah, so you went to Vanderpump Garden. Was it good?
So obviously, I was going to Vegas to go to these two concerts.
Yeah.
Of course, I was going to Vanderpump Cocktail Garden. It was great. Don't go there. Make sure you go there early, because a line starts to form after like 5 o'clock. Go there. This is like a pre-dinner drink.
Yeah.
Spot.
It does not look like a dinner. I like wouldn't want to dine there.
There's no, it's all appetizers. There's no like actual like meal there. And I am pretty sure that the waitress who they featured on the episode the other week was our actual server. I think, yes. Because I remember thinking she looks exactly like Sheena. And she was really nice. And I pumped her, no pun intended, for information about a potential Vegas spinoff.
What did she say?
She said that every employee at Vanderpump Cocktail Garden, in order to like, once you like officially, you know, get the job, you do have to sign a release that you are agreeing to be on camera.
Okay.
At any given point. And this was a year ago. So obviously no spinoff happened this year, but I think it would be good. Laura, there's so much going on in Vegas. I mean, not right now.
There's a never-ending possibilities in Vegas. And, like, truly one of my favorite reality shows of all time, Gigolos, takes place in Vegas. And it's, like, male prostitutes. Like, and it's a Showtime show. I highly recommend anyone. But it brings, like, Vegas energy is perfect for reality television.
Yeah. It's why the Real World Las Vegas was so successful. Queen Trishelle.
Like, I'm actually surprised that there are not more shows that take place in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I think that we really missed an opportunity following Sheena to Vegas and like watching her do her like
that would have been the perfect what do they call it, like backdoor pilot. Would have been the perfect entrance into the Vegas world. I totally agree.
And like maybe, a you know good what? Maybe they could, segue.
Maybe they couldn't film the show or something that she was in, but I don't know.
Yeah, but it would also have been a good segue into like, well, now that our jobs have like taken, like now that our brands have taken off, like we're taking time off of Sir to like pursue other projects and like really gone into, because you could still have Lisa like checking in with all the people that she cares about so much. Like they don't have to work at Sir in order to be on the show. I just like hate that they, why are we so connected into Sir? Like is Lisa that desperate to like pimp her restaurants? Like everyone fucking knows about Sir at this point. Don't even get me started. I'll go off.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. John Sessa and Lala are at Vanderpump Dogs, and they hold up a sweatshirt when Lisa goes in, and they go, how cute is this merch? And it's also not cute.
Yeah, that was weird. And then this whole scene was weird to me.
Yeah, it was like more SpawnCon.
Yeah.
And then truly the worst part, the low point of this episode, and I would venture to say any episode of Vanderpump Rules this entire season, the low point is when Lisa comes on the screen. But this especially because, like, she makes a joke about, like, Lala having sex. And then Lala's like, I don't need a cocktail to get, like, sassy or whatever. And Lisa goes, mm-hmm. True dat. And I literally need to go to a doctor because I think I lost, like, at least a few months were shaved off of my life thanks to Lisa saying that. Like, that was a curse. We should class action sue her.
The most, for sure, the most cringy scene she's ever filmed was the one where she was ziplining in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like that in like those jeans. Like, I don't know why she insists on wearing those jeans. I love Lisa Vanderpump in general, but I don't understand about the jeans. But
I'm chilled to the bone by Lisa's decision to fully immerse herself in this world as like an equal to these people. It really, like, I'll never mm-hmm. understand it. And I think that maybe she needs to be like hospitalized for a moment and like so people can observe her and write whatever is wrongs are going on. And so they chat about James, who's sober, and we cut to James and Raquel, and James, Raquel,
this was nuts
amazing
too.
She's like, pink, you found pink utensils? How did you do that? And James goes, I've been doing lots of stuff today, okay? And he's
crazy.
So happy. He's crazed. I'm 1,000% here for sober James. Like, it truly is like the light switch went back on in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just full of energy.
He and Jax are my favorite characters.
Yeah. I love James. Like, and I think he also has an innate vulnerability to him that yeah. is very watchable and also really funny and fun. And he's basically like, am I going to be enough? And Raquel's like, you are enough. Sober, you are everything. And he's like, she's like, you're so fun to hang out with. And he goes, I know. And I was just like, yes, like, I live to see it.
It was really good.
And then they all go to the beach cleanup. And
the texts. Oh my God. I love seeing the texts. The texts on the screen were great. This was one scene that I felt like Max was adding value. I think that's it. I never felt that he ever added value to a scene until this one, because he was able to produce those texts.
Yeah.
And of course, he added value because he was just bringing Jax into the scene. But hey, I'll take it.
No, it was great. And I like also it Kristen, I'm just like, Kristen, why can't you just be normal for like once in your life? She like goes up to Stassi and hugs the life out of her and then has to like whisper deeply in her ear, like, congratulations. And I was like, this is why, Dodie, like, people don't want you around, is because you can't just be like, hey, congratulations, like, so happy for you. And like,
Kristen is the best friend in a romantic comedy. She reminds me of like Molly Shannon in Serendipity. Did you ever see that movie?
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, Serendipity is amazing. Everyone go watch Serendipity. Okay, she just reminds me of like the comedic, well, no, she's not, Kristen's not funny at all, but like, she reminds me of what is typically the best friend role in a romantic comedy, where it's always played by somebody who's like really awkward and like has down on their luck with men. Like, that's Kristen.
Yeah. It's like Katherine Hahn could play. She could do like a really good Dodie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she did, her bread and butter was doing those like awkward best friend in the rom-com roles for such a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is like that. And like, I love, don't get me wrong, like, I love to watch it, but I'm also just like, Kristen, like, you've got to just like learn how to chill with people.
Do we know if she's actually pregnant now? Is that still a rumor?
No, she says that she's not. I mean,
okay,
if she was, I would literally like light off fireworks and celebrate, like in the like just light off street fireworks. But
well, finish your thought.
No, I think she even said she was just like, I was wearing like a really unfortunate outfit that day and had like bad posture.
I think in the other thing we did together, I told you my theory that she's going to wind up the most successful of everybody on the show, because she's going to sell the rights to this book that she's releasing, and they're going to turn it into a TV show, and she's going to become a millionaire off of it.
I want that for her. Like, I want her to have nothing but like the ultimate success. Like, I don't think, like, for Kristen, it's like until she really, I don't think success will fix her more deeper issues, but I think that that will be like a real confidence boost for her, and also like encourage her. It will push her in the direction of like wanting to address the deeper issues in life. Mm-hmm. And then also just like pedally, like I just want her to be more successful than like Stassi and Katie.
Well, it'll be the best revenge.
Yeah, it'll be the best really revenge. And I think that like the book is, like, I can see it getting adapted into a TV show very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the plan. Like, the co-writer is the author of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Or he's just not that into you, I thought.
Oh, is it? He's not that into one of those two. Mm-hmm.
He's just not that into you.
He's just not that into you. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm here for it. Go. Like, God bless. Yeah. Also, someone told me, like, the guy that Dodie's dating is, like, worth $20 million.
Yeah, I read that.
Which I was into. But again, I'm like, I would also just love it if she were single. Anyways, Max gives a speech about how important the ocean is to him. And he ends it by saying, let's spend some time picking up some trash and then let's hang out and enjoy each other's company. And I just wrote, that is the premise of Vanderpump Rules. And then also it turns out that they just are cleaning up an already very clean beach. Like, there is actually no trash to pick up.
Yeah.
But they love picking up trash on the show so much. Like, that is like a favorite pastime of these people in particular. I've never seen such a group of people that just enjoys litter and garbage and is drawn to it. They're innately drawn to it.
Yeah, but like, think about it. These are people who all worked in restaurants. Isn't the whole thing and working in a restaurant, you're putting away food and garbage and cleaning, and then, you know, cleaning away the trash and the old food and making it pretty again. It's a metaphor for afterlife,
a grand metaphor. But Brett is actual trash, because he will take the attention from Sheena. He wants to be in a video. Like, he is like a YouTuber by trade and a model. And he wants the opportunity to see and be seen and then talk shit about Sheena after the fact. And I'm like, you're garbage for that. I have no respect.
I'm looking, I'm pulling up his YouTube. I want to see how many subscribers he has. Like, wow, he has 500,000 YouTube subscribers.
Yeah.
He's making a lot of money off YouTube. Yeah.
Right. I think that's where they all scouted him from. Like, he's not like a waiter, nor do I I don't even think he actually like works at Sir. I think he's just like a plant. But like, also, it's just like, you don't hate it that much. If you really hated it, you wouldn't do it in the first place.
Right.
You would never have even offered, like, you would not have said yes to the opportunity to be in Sheena's video. And then he goes so far as to say, like, Sheena offered him a blowjob on set, which I just am like, queen. Like,
this was outrageous. This claim, this actually like stopped me. Like, I almost had to like pause the show. Like, that was an outrage. Yeah. His little speech at the beach of like his relaying what went on, ending with, and then she offered to give me a blowjob and I said no. And then he says, and I love blowjobs.
And you know how much I love blowjobs. I was just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, his mother is watching this.
But also to like say that to Dana, when I'm like, you're also in a storyline where you two are like together for all intents and purposes. So, like, you wouldn't act. That's when I'm like, you're faking it, because you wouldn't say that to someone that you're actually, like, dating. And also, I believe that Sheena probably was like, "Want to blow a job?" Like jokingly was asking him. But in his mind, like this whole narrative, like, and I do think that Sheena, like, I see it for her, like, as the type of person that's just like, what? Everyone wants me. Like, I'm hot. Like, it's whatever. I believe that, but I also don't think that, like, that's what's going on with her and Brett at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, like, deeply disrespectful. Yeah. And I'm like, Brett, have some class for once in your pitiful life.
Can't wait to relive it at the reunion.
I know, the Zoom reunion.
The Zoom reunion. At least with the Zoom reunion, they're clearly going to split it into like the OGs and the new crop.
You think so?
Yeah, because if it's little boxes, how could they have everybody on at the same time? They're going to do like, it's going to have to be like story by story that they churn through.
I'm intrigued, and like even tonight is like the Summer House finale, and then they're having like a Zoom reunion, so we get 2 hours of Summer House, which like praise God for but like I'm very excited to see like how that works out.
Since you brought up Summer House, so I interviewed Kyle Cook.
It came out
this week, and the juiciest thing he said in the interview, first of all, he was like a delight to talk to, but the juiciest thing, we got to it immediately. He basically said that Summer House is most likely going to be the only Bravo show that's able to film this summer. And like he laid out three different possibilities of how they could film the fifth season, because typically they start mid-June. And he's basically said what the producers have penciled out are basically three possible solutions. The first solution would be they would quarantine before shooting the cast and the crew, and they would film it Big Brother style with them like locked in the house the whole summer.
Yes, give that to me. I need it. Do that also with the cast of Vanderpump Rules. Just put them in like the Warner Brothers lot in a fucking on a sound stage and just like let them have it.
So he was basically like, that'll be the most extreme scenario, like doing it. He literally said Big Brother style. And then he said, if we decide to push it into like July or August, then, you know, hopefully some bars and restaurants will be open by then, maybe at like half capacity, and we'll be able to get out a little bit. But he kind of said no matter what, they most likely wouldn't be able to like go back and forth between the city and the Hamptons, like the way they film it during the week, because it would be too much of a risk.
Yeah. You know? And that's also fine. Like, I don't mind the stuff that they have in the city. Like, it's kind of, it's a nice, it adds a little bit of texture to the show, but it doesn't, if you took that away, I'm not going to be mad at it. Like, I'm in it for just like them at their summer house.
Yeah. So yeah, he basically was like, yeah, they had to pull the plug on Southern Charm. Like, they got like 3 weeks in and they acknowledged the coronavirus, but then they just pulled the plug. I know that Jersey only filmed like 1 week. They're going to have to scrap all that. I don't think anything else was filming. Maybe OC had been filming a little bit, but as far as Vanderpump, they can't film.
No, there's no way. I mean, the only way that they could, And honestly, like, thank God. We deserve a break, especially with all the bullshit that this show has been, like, true, just like, bullshit hijinks that we've all put up with collectively as an audience for the past 2 years. And like, these people need a year to think about their lives and
think about what they've done
and then sit in the consequences of not having another season. And like, also that's gonna be very interesting financially for some of them, like but they also
I could see them just starting to film in January or starting to film in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
I mean, we wouldn't get there, you know, the Pride. Well, Pride's canceled. Okay, yeah. Fine.
Also,
I'm
like,
into it.
We've seen Pride enough. Like, who cares about Pride? Like, Pride enough, is, like, at this point, like, Pride. Anything that is, that we've seen now, it just becomes SponCon for Lisa's shitty restaurants. So, like, But I'm fine to let them have a break and stew for the remainder of 2020 and really take a look at their life and their choices and decide, how am I going to change this and what am I going to bring to the table and earn back the trust of the audience next year?
Another cast member who I literally don't remember seeing at all yesterday or in this week's episode was Tom Schwartz. He's barely on the show now. I mean, I remember he was in a scene, but he doesn't do – like, he literally doesn't have a role on the show anymore.
No, his most notable moment this entire season was him, like, blowing up at Katie and, like, verbally abusing her in front of his friends and the crew of the show.
Which they need to dig more into.
Yeah, but like, I think Tom and Katie have consciously decided to take a back seat because their only option, like, Katie doesn't have any sort of hustle or passion or job outside of doing this show.
And what would, like, their option be?
I think their only option, if they were to get really involved with the show, is, like, their relationship is shitty and showing, like, the cracks, the obvious cracks in their relationship, but they don't want to do that. So, like, instead, it's just like, we're just not going to say anything and kind of fade into the background and, like, hope that no one notices. And I would not be surprised if Jax and Brittany,
well, do the same.
I could see them defaulting to kind of the same mode, but then I also couldn't, because I think that Jax loves attention and I think that he craves, like, a camera on him. And I think that Brittany loves it too. So I think, and even if they were like, okay, well, we're not going to talk about it or show it, it would show up anyways, because they're both too dumb to actually have the kind of self-control it would take to, like, craft a fictional narrative that's believable.
What's interesting is that Jax isn't so – see, I would expect Jax to be a little more active on Instagram, because I initially had the thought he's addicted to being seen, like, in the way, like, Bethany is. Mm-hmm. But you clearly see that, because Bethany documents every mundane moment in her life. And I say this as, like, a Bethany is my number one for life.
Yeah.
But Jax isn't that way. He doesn't sit in, like, Insta story, like – the minutia of everything. No, like, he really does save it for the show.
He's a bit of an exhibitionist, and I think that he is also a bit lazy, so he likes people filming him. He doesn't want to do the work to film himself. Like, he thinks of himself as something who draws people to then document his goings on. Mm-hmm. So if someone else is doing it, he's happy to, like, perform. But then to go the extra step is, like, work that he's unwilling to do.
Right.
Wait, so Jax is, like, hate texting Max, and then we get a flashback to Sandoval and Jax's iconic number one guy in the group conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
And I screamed because it was so good to be, like, I just miss Jax's,
take it back to that time.
Yeah, like, Jax's bloat and his face and his jaw just, like, gurning his jaw. And then Sandoval's, like, hair glasses combination was truly shocking.
I did like that they're really keeping the phrase rage text alive. Like, I think that, you know, I know that Tom and Ariana use it in their book, and, like, it's part of the fabric of the show. So I do enjoy that they are breathing new life into that phrase.
Yeah. And, like, these people love a rage text, and that's, like, just part of their, that is, like, what they do. And there's people in the world that love to rage text. Have you noticed that in life? Like,
yes.
Like, I am not personally, like, my fight style, if I'm gonna engage in, like, an argument with someone, is, like, I would much rather talk face to face or talk on the phone. And, like, I'm not the kind of person, like, it truly takes so much to move me to a place of scream and raging on someone. Like, it maybe happens once every 5 years, but I just, like, my fight style is very, like, we keep it respectful. I don't say things that I know that I would regret saying later that could be, like, I'm, like, respectful fighter, if I do say so myself. But, like, there are some people that do not want to, that, like, prefer to go the route of rage texting.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah, but not even passive, just like aggressive, like rage text. It would like rather actually just like attack over text than like engage in a conversation. And that's like such a personality vibe and choice. But like, that's what like Vanderpump Rules, those people have that very much in common with like other people in the world. I just think that there are certain types of fight styles and they all are a personality. They all have the personality type of like rage texters.
When Tom Schwartz, remember, I was just saying, I was just trying to remember what, you know, when I remember seeing him, when he said that he just delete, the way his coping mechanism is to just delete the texts that like trigger him or that upset him, and that he does that often with Katie, mm-hmm. that is the biggest red flag possible that you are in an unhealthy relationship, friendship, work dynamic. I have been there personally, mm-hmm. and you need to actively remove that person from your life. If you find yourself deleting texts, that's why it freaked me out so much, because I went through something like this.
Yeah.
And that is awful that he has to do that with his wife.
I know. It's like it's a sign of a deeper issue. And I've had people in my life too, where I've had to like just delete everything that they send to me, like yeah. not as it's coming in, but like afterwards I delete it, because it's like I'm such a personality, like I'll look back through and reread and reread.
Me
and
too.
Reread.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's unhealthy. Like I just can't have it like on my phone or computer. Like it has to just go. And so if you're doing that with someone, you might just like take it a step further and be like, maybe I don't need this person around yeah. as much.
Really bad.
But it's also
really, really
like,
bad.
I highly recommend a deletion of any sort of like, anytime you get rage text from someone, I think it's absolutely the best thing to do is delete.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd like to take a video of the entire, I do a screen video of a scroll through the entire exchange, then I'll send mm-hmm. to a friend so they can read, obviously, and be in on the drama, and then we can talk yep. shit about whoever was texting me that. But then I delete the text chain, but I'll keep the video just in case, but I'll never look back at the video. That video right. is just for other people.
But you can't have the bad, it's such bad energy.
Bad energy.
Like, that's why I would have to continually delete stuff. It was yeah. like the energy I couldn't live with.
Mm-hmm. Get it out yeah. of there.
Yep.
Brett and Max go off to have like a side conversation where they talk about like the Dana situation, but still are talking about it in like very vague, unreal terms. And Brett goes, dude, you're a great dude, man, to Max.
This was too much.
This was insane. Like, people don't talk to each other no. like this in real life. Like, nothing anyone said in these various story, like, dialogues about the triangle is like a no.
It further underscored the fact that, are we supposed to believe that Matt and Brett are friends or no? Because they clearly have like never met before.
They don't know each other. Like,
they don't know each other. Okay.
And I think, I don't know. I'm like, what I glean from this, I think Max is a little bit better about selling like some sort of friendship narrative with Brett, even though I believe that they probably have just only met while filming Vanderpump right. Rules. And that's the only time in life that they even interact. Mm-hmm. But like, Brett can't, like, Brett is the person who kills any sort of chemistry with anyone he comes into contact with whenever he opens his mouth. It's shocking. It's like, it's actually like a supernatural ability he has. When his mouth
is
shut.
He's just a really, really bad actor.
He's a terrible actor. He's better silent. Like, he's great in Sheena's music video because he never speaks. Mm-hmm. And whenever he opens his mouth, it immediately just like everything collapses. And then Dana,
when he's pretending to be attracted to LVP, it's too much.
Yeah. And I think she likes it. Like, I mean, I think that that's the reason that he's hired and is staying on the show. Someone had written like in subreddits or something that they have like a full blown, like close relationship with each other.
Really?
Like, he's been at her house for holidays and stuff like that. Like, he might have even been like handpicked by Lisa, which I would fully believe, because he has no business being in this world or on the show.
I wonder what the connection is. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, please make this storyline stop. Like, I'm ready. If Dana and Max are just going to be together and try and navigate the relationship, like, I believe in their chemistry, like, whatever it is. Like, and I kind of, by the time we got to, like, Tom and Ariana's dinner party and they went and sat outside, I was like, okay, just, like, let's do this already. Like, I'm here. Like, I'm invested. Like, let's just do it. Like, please, anything to, like, not have to go around in another circle of this, like, fake storyline.
Yeah, I get when we get to that scene, that little moonlit scene by the pool, I have some thoughts on it.
Then everyone starts talking about, like, the sun is setting, it's golden hour, the beach cleanup is done, and everyone's had a beautiful day. And then Max is like, thanks so much for coming. Jax has done nothing but rage text me that this idea was stupid and, like, everyone was mad at me for organizing this day. And then Brittany has to, like, jump in and defend Jax. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he's just having a two today. I think he said, like, you know, I think it's Mercury's Gatorade. And I was dead at that. Mercury's Gatorade is life. And also, it is like Mercury's Gatorade. Like, every day is Mercury's Gatorade when you're Jax Taylor.
That you could not script.
Yeah. And like, Brittany, it sucks for her because I truly think she is someone who's believes in her own delusions. And like, it is genuinely shocking to her that like Jax could revert back to the kind of person that he was. Like, I believe that she thought marriage would fix all their problems and like, they would move forward and she would get her fairy tale ending and everything would be hunky-dory again. And like, I think that we're experiencing her pain in real time.
Mm-hmm. The last scene was it felt very real, very, I felt a lot coming from both of them. I know we're not there yet, but the last scene was extremely memorable.
Yeah, it was. And like, it sucks for Brittany that she's literally now attached to this person who she's going to have to spend their entire relationship like apologizing on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But it also works for him as like a bad boy, like jerk to be with someone that will always shoulder the responsibility of his actions. So they're in the perfect hetero hell relationship. Ariana throws a dinner party, and basically the best thing to come out of this is Sandoval. And I love Tom Sandoval, too, at the beach, just to go back when he's like, hey, Brittany, why didn't Jax come? Like, that was masterful.
Yeah. That was.
Really I love good. Like a little poke troll because he just knows. And then he even flexes more in the dinner party when he's like, should I throw a rager the same day?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, absolutely.
It seems like that's exactly what he does.
I'm excited to move past wedding storylines just so that we can get back into the meat of the show, which is just like dysfunctional friendships.
It reminded me, something else. So that the whole, you know, Sandoval throwing a competing pool party, it reminded me a little bit of like the toilet paper when they TP'd his house. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that in the Instagram live, like as we're going through this, like more and more things are popping up for me. He said that he thought it was actually really funny because obviously he didn't have to clean it up. And he said his neighbors were pissed, but he found it to be really funny.
Well, that's cool. Because, yeah, I mean, I think it's like, obviously, it's for the show. So and it seemed like whoever was gardening was going to be the one cleaning it up because we saw like the gardener in that episode, which I felt bad for him. But c'est la vie. Sheena points out that Jax is freaking out because it's not all about him anymore. Very astute observation from my queen. And then Max and Dana go talk outside. And that's when we get this like greasy moonlit scene.
See, this scene felt way too produced for me. It even felt scripted.
It feels like, and this whole, I think the big problem that I have with Max and Dana and Brett is it feels like a different show. It feels like The Hills, Like, you know, in the Hills, yes. they would have these like yes. really vague, meaningless conversations about nothing. But then like it would just also be about like everything. Like they'd nothing would ever get decided. No one's really revealing any information. No one's even saying objectively. They're not being like, this is what I want. It's just like, I just like feel this way and like it's confusing and like it's weird, you know? And then the other person will be like, I don't even know. Like, I guess like I don't know yeah. what to do with that. And then like the music swells and everyone just stares off into the distance. And I'm like, that's what the Hills was, but this You're is Vanderpump Rules.
You are dead on. It's their scenes, Max, particularly anything that involves Max. I mean, yeah, I guess Max and Brett is soft scripted. They're mm-hmm. giving them like beats to hit in the scene. Dana is better. Dana is a better actress than they are actors. I don't believe that there is any sexual anything between these three people. And yeah, I think that's why I was just like, it's so strange. It felt like I was watching Grey's Anatomy or something. Like it felt like it was, like The Hills.
It was a different... That. Tonally a completely different show, like a departure in entering a different like universe or dimension, even like the second even the they way stepped it, outside
Tom but even the way it was out. But even the way it was filmed,
yeah,
like the shadows and the moonlight, like we that's usually Vanderpump Rules like really lo-fi, like yeah. it just didn't
they're in like an alley or something like that. It's just like yeah. it was very strange. Then we get to Dodie's pop-up, and I love just, like, Kristen hustling her bustle, like, telling people that she'll give them discount codes is,
oh
like,
my God.
The best.
When she said, the quote, if we don't have the Wi-Fi password, we're not going to sell any t-shirts, we're not mm-hmm. going to make any sales or sell any shirts. Was that because people were buying online?
That's because she probably is using a Square processor. As someone who recently had to do like a whole merch setup at the one live show that didn't get canceled of my tour, like you need Wi-Fi passwords sometimes with a Square processor if it's like if you're connecting it to a phone with Got Bluetooth. It. So okay. that's like probably why she needed the Wi-Fi. Okay. But I also just love like inviting your best friends to an event and then forcing them to buy something is really a power move. I mean, go crazy. Tell me anything you want and I'll give you the discount code.
I've had friends do that to me.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I fully have done that to friends, but like it takes one to know one. The hustle, the struggle.
I love Kristen referring to herself as an entrepreneur. My work as an entrepreneur is never done.
It's never done. She's ready to like shill her goods at Good Times at Davy Wayne's, which is like this 70s themed bar in Hollywood that I've been to once. And really like it is truly like a Dodie. It's like a Dodie. It's a very Vanderpump Rules-esque like haven of day drinking. Though I was really wanting a tequila slushy
like
a tequila snow cone.
Yeah, that seemed very appealing.
I know. So I'm being nothing genuine. More no yeah. I mean I am too like yeah. I want it's now getting really hot in LA, like I want slushy alcoholic drinks.
Delicious
ASAP. Brett again looks like hell. His hair is out of control. I can't believe more people aren't just like outwardly trolling him. Like that would be a great, like you would think that people would just start making fun of him and this crew. And then that would be a great storyline just to like roast the hell out of Brett and have like a montage of people just like making comments mm-hmm. about his hair. Like why isn't that happening? He again comes for Sheena, says he felt uncomfortable and tries to like confront her in front of Dana. And then he's like, I felt uncomfortable when you're like sucking my ear and like blah blah blah. And like I told you like I just wanted to wear jeans, but you made me like take my pants off. And I'm just like, this is Sheena's music video. Like no one asked for your creative input, Brett. Like you're literally a model. Do your job.
I did like when she yelled at him. It's called acting.
It's called acting. Yeah, she's being professional. And I also love Sheena goes, I felt uncomfortable too, just why. And I love that she says why instead of FYI. That's genius. And I'm going to start saying that. And then I was like, she's being gaslit into trying to like, make it come across as though she's like an insane person. And it's not going to work. Because like later on, also, like I love when Brett, Sheena's like, I just need you for like a Friday shoot, like shooting pickup shots that we like didn't get. And then later, like Brett makes a stink and tries to come up to her. And then she's
he gets
like,
fired from the pickup
shot. I love it. She's like, you know what? Actually, like we don't need you and you don't have to come. And then Brett's like, well, don't act like the blah, blah, blah. Like, and then she's just like, no, like I would say you're fired, but I'm not paying you. And I love, like, this is truly like, that's how you know Brett's trash, is because he did this for free. Like, he wanted to do it. You don't do something like that for free if you really are like uncomfortable and don't want to do it.
We're getting to another mini scene within this pop-up event that was classic Vanderpump Rules and like made me feel like really warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, I want to see
if you can guess the moment. All right, do you want to try and guess it?
I think like it's well, my Jax and Kristen, obviously, but then Jax going up to like Max, and I think was it Max and Sandoval where he's like, I'm going through some mental problems and I just like I have mental issues. Because I'm angry all the time. I'm like, you don't say.
that was great. A piece within this that really harkened back to the good old days was when Kristen admitted in the confessional interview that she was outright lying to Jax at the time just to get him, you know, out of her face.
That was classic. That was
Vanderpump Rules.
So Jax goes up to Kristen. Also, like, Jax is fully, again, like, on something in the scene, and Kristen goes, want a snow cone? And Jax goes, I sure do. Yeah, sounds good. Like, was too hyped. And then he goes, how's the event going? And I'm like, how's it going? Like, you're literally at the event. Like, that's not a question a normal person asks. Like, what is wrong with you? So then, okay,
Lara, how's this podcast going?
How's this podcast going? Well, Jess, I'm glad you asked. It's going really well. Thank you. So Kristen made a blowjob sex tape with a paramour of hers, and then Carter happened to see it. And so, but there, so that's the drama.
Yeah.
And like, why does Jax care? Because he has.
Yeah, that was confusing. This whole piece with the sex tape confused me. Did they say it was a blowjob tape?
Well, later it said Lala was like doing like an oral pleasure of some sort, or made a reference to like an oral. So I just was like, okay. But it took me a couple watches to try and figure out exactly what had happened. But I think it's just that Kristen gave a guy a blowjob and let him film it. And then he texted her the video with like eggplant emojis or something. And then Carter saw the text. But then I guess it's not that big of a deal because Carter and Kristen still fucked, like when Stassi. Right. Basically, Kristen is like, any excuse I can have Carter come over and like pity fuck me, like I'll take it. Like she's in that part of the relationship where it's just like the breakup rather, which going back to your original like breakup idea, I really think that Kristen should do some sort of like breaking up podcast. Like, or could have done one with the whole Carter situation.
Yeah.
Because she's like a messy breakup person.
Yep. She could be my star when I produce that show that we invented at the beginning.
Yeah. Dodie, if you're listening, get in touch. Yeah. But so then Jax is inexplicably like pissed about this, or trying to get to the bottom or like expose her. And it's like, you can't expose a single person for anything that they do while they're like single if no one's pissed about it. It's like, what do you think you're accomplishing here?
You're not catching her doing anything. She's just hooking up with a random dude and she's not attached to anybody.
Yeah. And if anything, it's just showing that Brittany is like a very untrustworthy friend, because then it's like, But I don't even know if Brittany like told Jax about it. Well, I think Brittany told Jax like something happened, but like don't bring it up. And then Jax exposes Brittany. So then it's just like shows that Brittany can't be trusted. And then he starts like yelling and carrying on about it like at Kristen's event. And it was just like, this was good Vanderpump Rules energy. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Great scene.
Jax is like flipping his shit. And then Kristen is like, what? Like, I can't have him like doing this, like blah, blah, blah. And then Brittany goes, I don't think anyone like around can hear. But I'm also like,
when she had to chase him through the restaurant, it was all great. That was great.
But then also I'm like, you're filming this, so like everyone can hear and see. But I feel like we're also like missing out on like why did we not have a scene if the cameras are around and Kristen, like they're filming a scene of Lala calling Kristen and saying like, you're not invited to Stassi's book or engagement party. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we also just getting a scene of Kristen calling Carter and like having him come over and have sex?
Mm.
I don't get why we are seeing things like after the fact, unless it's like they actually weren't there that day and they just like fake filmed a scene of Kristen having that combo with Lala, which actually they could have absolutely done. But yeah, I'm just like, I'm unclear at like the wild inconsistencies this season, which I feel like last season was just across the board terrible. Like there just was not one single good episode last season of Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. And then this season is like some of the worst episodes I've ever seen. And then also some great episodes.
Yeah.
Not the best, one, but back
I know,
up to par.
I know you said like, this episode, like maybe your favorite of the season. I think this one was definitely up there. I absolutely loved the episode. I think the title was like Ex-Best Man, Ex-Best Friend. Mm-hmm. And the one, it's not about the pastor. The whole pastor gate I found to be very watchable, very entertaining. Like I was sucked into all of that.
Yeah, that was a great conflict and another great episode. And there have been like, there have been really good ones, but I'm just like, why is it so inconsistent? Like, is it a different, I would love to know if it's like a different team of editors or story producers assigned to various episodes or like how they mix it up. Cause I'm just like, they're tonally, this season has been all over the map and no consistent lines have been like carried through or consistent conflict has been carried through. And I don't know whose fault that is, but I would actually love to out them and then like publicly shame them and have them like fired.
That's an interesting to try and research. I wonder if we'd be able to get that information in terms of like who is assigned which episodes to story produce. I mean, that may be too difficult to find out, but we can try. That's some good investigative journalism.
I need people on the case because I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I don't get how you get a scene like this or an episode like this. And then like an episode like the Vegas Spawn Con episode where it was just like, my God, have we really reached this low?
Or the funeral for the fucking lizard.
Oh, yeah. Even I was kind of into a lizard funeral. Like, I wasn't that pissed about Dog the Lizard's funeral because I feel like we could have even taken it a step deeper and been like, why did this lizard die? Clearly, obviously, of neglect. Like, let's go one step deeper into like how dark is their relationship that like an innocent animal had to die in order to generate content. Lisa sipping James's drink to like make sure there's no alcohol in it is so rude and like insane to me.
This scene felt, I mean, this was obviously set up, extremely produced, found it very odd that we never saw James, like, did he actually DJ that night?
TBD.
Or was this TBD?
I don't know. I mean, this seems like a scene where Lisa's like, we obviously like since Lisa drew the line last season and like told James he was fired or whatever, like you obviously do need a scene where James is now like welcomed back into his role at Sir or whatever. And I think also part like Lisa wants scenes like this to show that she's actually like such a good person and so caring and like forgiving and blah, blah, blah. But I agree. Mm-hmm. It was just like insanely produced. Like it's like Lisa Vanderpump propaganda. The only saving grace of a scene like this is Queen Raquel, who like cruises up to the table and goes, "Would you like anything to drink? A rosé, perhaps?" And Lisa goes, "Does the Pope have a balcony?" And Raquel just goes, "What?
What?"
And that is the energy that I would, that Lisa needs to be checked with at all times, is what energy? Because she truly is operating from a place of what throughout this entire season.
I couldn't believe that James just like laughed in Raquel's face.
I know. I was like, I felt defensive of Raquel when he was like, she had to think about it for a minute. I was like, don't just like try and say she's stupid. I was like, that was true comedic genius. And honestly, like, high level fuckery that Raquel pulled to what Lisa like that.
Do you think James will stay sober?
I mean, I hope so. I think that it's, I don't know. It's hard when someone has done, had such like a public battle with alcoholism, like on TV. Like, I believe that he's an alcoholic, and I think that what we've seen of his family dynamic, like it makes a lot of sense why he would use alcohol as like a coping mechanism. But I would hope, I root for him to stay sober, because I do think that he's like truly just like a very dynamic and watchable and entertaining person and more fun to watch sober than fucked up. Like, mm-hmm. he is, like, has a lot of energy, and I think he does have a really good read on people. And he's, like, a fun part of the show. Like, I missed him so much when he was, like, cut out of the show.
It's, yeah, like, the entire, I mean, I consider this entire season he was pretty much cut out of. And when I interviewed Ariana, she had said that she and Tom run into James like during the beginning of filming, and they were like, "Where are you? You should be filming." He's like, "I know, I'm working on it." Like, he was still working out like contract stuff. Like, he was still being punished mm-hmm. by Lisa, you know, when it was playing out through just like contractual stuff.
Yeah.
I really hope that production and Lisa, the executive producers, have to understand that he is critical to the success of the show at this point. He is he's definitely one of the most dynamic people on the show, and to give him such a minor role this season, like maybe one scene per episode, and he wasn't in like the first five episodes this season, and then beyond that, one scene an episode, like how does that make sense? If you're trying to produce an entertaining show, if you hearken back, if you look back at the most successful seasons, they're the ones where he was the star of the season. Mm-hmm. Seasons 4, 5, you know?
Well, it's an interesting dichotomy, because I think like James obviously like had like was struggling actively with alcoholism, and I do think that Lisa does really care about him, and they have a relationship that goes beyond just like him being on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And like, in his situation, I do think that she felt responsible to like put pressure on him to get sober, and knew the only way that she could achieve like and make her point to him was to like threaten him financially. And so you have that going on kind of underneath everything. Like, it's, they definitely, like, she refers to that somewhat, but it's interesting that you say, like, at the beginning of the season, even, like, contractually, it was like, what's going on? Like, are we going to fix this? And so I hope that he is, like, sober for the right reasons, and, like, it's not just, like, a temporary, can I get back on the show and then get fucked up kind of thing, like, for his own well-being. But it's interesting that that is also like a real thing that's going on, in a real struggle that he and Lisa have together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just love him so much. Like, I want him
like, I
in
want
every
him,
scene.
Yeah, yeah. I want him on the show in every scene. I want him, like, I think that he absolutely could get back to a place of like talking shit to people and like stirring up drama, but it just doesn't have to get to like such a dark level. Like, obviously, yeah. like him talking shit to Katie and like body shaming her is like kind of just like easy. It's easy and
it's
lazy.
It's low hanging fruit
in the sense of, in the same way as how Dana and Brett and Max are being to Sheena, like just low hanging fruit, like doesn't take a lot of creativity. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to like lift and shift to a new reality with James. He goes, "White Kanye is back in business," to Raquel. I live.
Okay, so the white Kanye thing. So when I was rewatching season four, and I so recommend this to anybody who's just quarantined up in their home. Oh, season four. And you know what? This has inspired me. This podcast has inspired me. I am going to binge season five because I want to. I mean, obviously, I've seen these all, but I haven't rewatched. I'm going to watch season five next.
It's good to revisit. And like season five, I mean, everything up through season six was reality TV show gold. Even though season five was a tough season because it's just like so. It's like really just predicated on Katie being like miserable bridezilla and like her sad relationship with Schwartz. But it still is just like so entertaining. You have them like going to New Orleans and it's just like this is the best show in the history of television until it hit season seven. And then it became one of the worst shows in existence.
What I saw in the rewatch of season four was when I guess they had just finished that first song that he had done with Lala. It's when he says for the first time, "I'm the white Kanye." Mm-hmm. Like just he says it and you can tell that it's the first time he's saying it on camera because he just has this. It's like this. He's saying this with such confidence and like this is a fact. Just like the sparkle was in his eye and I was like, this is a fucking star.
Yeah, he believes in himself. Yeah. And honestly, I think he's a talented guy.
Me too.
Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. Jax and Brittany get back home.
It's the scene.
Mm-hmm. And Jax is like putting together some sort of fan or something and Brittany's like crying. And Jax is basically like yelling at her. And she's like, "You can't just yell at me and take it out on me. I feel like you always take out your anger on me or anyone else." And then he's like, "What? I'm not allowed to have a bad day." And then he says a very revealing statement, which he's like, "I smoke a lot and then I get hungry and then I gain 20 pounds and I got to lose it. So I take Adderall. I can't win." And I was like, maybe if you weren't doing so many drugs, you would feel like more of a sense of equilibrium. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, it was a moment of like raw honesty from him. And it explained the fluctuations in his weight, which we see between the scenes of him leading up to the wedding juxtaposed with the confessionals. He's clearly 20 pounds heavier in the confessionals. Yeah. I think that they film especially his like way after they film the season. Mm-hmm. Like he looks totally different. Like his hair is terrible and like he's just looks a mess. Yeah.
He's one of the people who I've never seen, like him and Christian Bale just like both fluctuate in weight and body so much. It's like it cannot be healthy for either of them.
I loved that he was being honest about the Adderall and that he's struggling with his weight. Like I felt that to be relatable. I felt like the weight fluctuation to be like a very relatable moment. And that like he smokes pot and he gets hungry and he eats and it's a mess and he has to lose the weight. Like I felt for him. Like that was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I love it when they expose their or when they talk frankly about their drug use. I really am into that. Like when Stassi flipped out at that her birthday party and like ran down the street and then she was like, "Yeah, I just like took too much Adderall and like tequila." Like I love it when they're just like open about that kind of stuff because it's like clearly all these people are on drugs and alcohol all the time. So like we deserve as an audience for that transparency. But also I'm just like we deserve the transparency and the reality of being like, yes, Jax and Brittany are at the same exact place that they were pre-engagement, post-faith cheating scandal, and nothing has changed. And this, like, we deserve to see this dynamic now play out and, like, at least, like, at least so that we're not gaslit into believing, like, oh, now everything's fine, or, like,
right.
And, like, when Jax is like, we're in a marriage, we're going to fight, we're going to have brawls, I was just like, brawls? Like, yeah, you can argue in a marriage, but no, you should not be having brawls with anyone in your life.
When he said in the earlier scene, I think it was at the, yeah, I think it was at Kristen's pop-up shop, when he said to Sandoval and maybe Max that he was, like, having mental stuff, what was he talking about?
I think he probably does have, like, crazy mood swings if he's going on. I mean, like, if he's taking Adderall just, like, consistently for long periods of time, like, when you do that, it changes your personality and turns your personality into a horror show. So, like,
I mean, do you think, like, that is what's creating or at the source of, like, the manic behavior?
Yeah, I think he probably takes a lot of drugs. He drinks alcohol. He's either, like, stoned or on uppers. He's, like, takes so much, like, weight loss supplements. I think he's probably fucked up his metabolism from all of that. I think that he obviously, like, lost his dad recently and has, like, a lot of unprocessed grief. He went through a really shaky moment in his relationship that just got shoved under the rug, and instead of actually dealing with any of his life problems, he just got married instead. So like, now all of this, it's like, yeah, you're probably going to have insane mood swings from that because you're emotionally all over the map. And then if you add any sort of, like, substance abuse to the mix, it's going to blow it all up. So, like, yeah, I absolutely believe he's having, like, mental issues. Like, that tracks, but like, I hope that we see more of them.
What an episode.
What an episode. And then it ends with him, like, when he acts, like, stupid to Brittany, where he's, like, he acts like he doesn't know what she's talking about, where he's, like, why are you crying? You're just crying because I'm mean to other people? Like, I love that form of, like, abuse in a relationship. When you act, like, you know, I've, like, you know, I'm sure, like, we've all done it where you just, like, act, like, clueless, like, you don't know, just so the other person feels really stupid. I was like, wow, that's real. Like, what? Yeah, this was a chef's kiss of an episode.
I'm hoping that we can, because now, like, we're, like, rounding home on the season. Like, I'm hoping that we can, like, this episode can propel us into a really good final couple of episodes and have them really be on the heels of Jax and Brittany. If that's what this season was all about, they're, you know, leading up to their marriage, have it now be like the real zoom in on, like, okay, what is it like now that the wedding is done? And if he is having these episodes and she's crying, like, let's see it.
Yeah, let's see it. And let's, like, watch people take sides and see how they, like, deal with it and how this affects, like, everyone's relationships. I mean, it is insane to me. This just shows, like, how, I think it's a testament to how good the show was in the beginning in those first six seasons, that that Vanderpump Rules has an audience that has so much goodwill built up towards this show that we will sit and put up with 18 episodes of trash. Like, and a past season, 24 episodes plus 18 episodes of utter garbage in order to get back to, like, where we were. Like, we're basically all, like, heroin addicts chasing the dragon. And I guess, like, we're in it together and in it to the bitter end. But, like, please God, like, or someone, make it, like, make Vanderpump Rules good again. Make Vanderpump Rules great again. Natalie, and with that, so I announced my bid for presidency.
When you run for mayor of West Hollywood, as seen on last week's episode of Beverly Hills.
I will be running against the mayor of West Hollywood on the platform, Make Vanderpump Rules Great Again.
I love it.
Jess Rothschild, thank you so much for joining me and doing a really deep dive into this week's episode.
This is great. I'm so glad I came on a good one.
Yeah, me too. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. So my podcast is called Hot Takes and Deep Dives. You can find it everywhere. You can find me on Instagram, JessXNYC. That's it, baby.
I love it. If you want tons of bonus content, you can sign up to become a patron on patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. There are recaps of seasons 1 and 2 of Vanderpump Rules on there. There's like over 100 bonus episodes, and it's a really good, solid investment. Lots of bang for your buck. If you're wanting to support the show and buy merch, you can buy merch at sexyuniquestore.com. And that's about it. Until next time, bye.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.